learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1. Crime Stoppers pays up to $2,500 for information leading to an arrest. Crime Stoppers pays, and you never give your name, and you never appear in court. No one knows but you and Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers reports the crime to the police, so you're never involved. Your life, your family, your home, your neighborhood, they're too precious to just give it to criminals. Get paid up to $2,500. 443-7867. 443-STOP. Don't ignore crime in your neighborhood. If you see something, know something, then say something. Crime Stoppers. 443-7867. 443-STOP.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We're going to look at a familiar story in the Bible, but it's not the familiarity that I want to point out. I'm not looking to point out the obvious in this story. I want to bring new revelation from this old story. And this story speaks to those three points that we're focusing on, and that is new breakthroughs, new beginnings, and new blessings. This one story embodies all three of those things. It's in Luke chapter 15 and from verse 11 through verse 32, but we're only going to read beginning at verse 17, and I'm going to move as expeditiously as I possibly can to get as much in the remaining time. All right, Rita.
Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Verse 18. "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Verse 19. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Verse 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Verse 23. "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Verse 24. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As we look at this story afresh, I would advise that you in your private time, your devotional time, would go back verse 11 through verses 32 and read the entire story again. And I want you to lift out the nuggets that God gives to you as it relates to this message today, and see how God is yet making new ways out of old situations, and how he's blessing and bringing his people out of situations and conditions that they otherwise would not be able to make it out, when they find in their own minds that they have produced their own problems and manufactured their own miseries. It's important to recognize that we've got to take responsibility for ourselves as well as our own souls. What is interesting as we look at this story called The Prodigal Son, I think many of the believers must come to the understanding that in this life we're going to have tribulations. Jesus made that clear. But there are some tribulations we bring on ourselves. There are some things that happen in our lives that we cause by our own decisions. First thing you're going to see in verse 17 is the fact that this young man recognizes that his condition is because of his own choices. His condition is because of his own choices. But in verses 18 and 19, he does two things. He repents in verse 18, and in 19, he resolves to change the situation. What's important about that? Because when you truly repent, true repentance means a turning around. It means that you have recognized that you have gone in the wrong way and you desire to turn and go back in the right direction. So it's a turning around. And so he resolves how he's going to deal with this mess up that he has made. And all of the preceding scripture tells you that he made his own mess, and he recognizes that. And I'm going to come back and deal with that in a little bit. But it's important to recognize in verse 20, he begins his road to reconciliation. Now, why is that important? Because you can say all you want to say about whatever you want to say. It isn't until you begin to do something about it that what you say means anything. And so in verse 20, we see he starts down the road to reconciliation. And in verse 21, he continues that. But here, you're also going to see in verse 22, 23, and 24, how his father responds to his repentance. And that's shout news. Because when you recognize, my brothers and sisters, the enemy wants to keep you in sin, keep you from repenting, keep you from humbling yourself, keep you from admitting your faults, keep you from admitting that you're wrong, so that you can stay out of your place. If the devil can keep you out of your place, he can keep you out of your blessings. Your blessings flow when you are in position. I think that's important for you to recognize. That's one of the reasons why the devil does not want you to be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be, because when God has special deliveries for you, listen, he sends it to where you ought to be. Are you hearing me, somebody? And it's important that we recognize that this young man realized after he had found himself at the lowest ebb of life, coming to himself. Now, this is interesting because he came to himself because there was no one else to come to. There was no one else to talk to. There was no one else to be with. And he looked around. He saw his condition. And he recognized the choices I made put me in this predicament. How many of us have been honest with ourselves and real with ourselves when we've fallen down, hit rock bottom, or at a place where life is going totally opposite from what we desire or what we want, and we realize that it's going bad, but we won't admit we're the reason it's going bad? How many times do we blame other folk and point the finger at other folk and say, if other folk would have done this and would have done that, then things would have been different? No, there is a part that you play. And the word says, and when he came to himself, what happened? He saw himself. Listen, this is important. Jot this down if you're taking notes. He saw himself. Too many of us see everybody else in our problems. And we see other people in their problems. But how many of us really see us in our problems? The way that we should see us, the way God sees us. He saw himself the way God saw himself. And he was not happy. He could not settle for being in the mess that he was in, that he made. When he saw himself, he said to himself, things have got to change. But listen to this. Guess who he turned to make a change? Himself. I want to throw this out parenthetically. Can I tell you that if you want a change in your life, stop looking outside of your life and start looking inside of your life. You are the one who determines whether or not you're going to make a change in your life or not. You have got to have the fortitude and the wherewithal to say, I don't like what I see. And I am going to do something about it. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters. So he saw himself. Nobody else had to see him and talk down to him and talk about how low he had fallen, how dirty he was, how messy he had become in his whole entire situation. He saw it for himself. Second thing was, he said to himself. That's the second point. Because when he said to himself what he saw, and he said to himself the life that he had had did not leave him, but he left it. That his father's servants were so blessed that they had bread and enough to spare. And here he, the son of a wealthy man, is in a foreign country in a pig's pen eating the slop that was meant for pigs. He said, no. This shouldn't be. I'm going to do something about this. And so here's what he did. He began to speak to his situation. Listen to me well. I want you to get this. Because
It's one thing to think. It's another thing to speak. You see, your thoughts cannot come to life or to fruition until you release them out of your mouth. Your thoughts begin like an embryonic egg. It starts very tiny and very small, but as it develops to a fetus. And as it continues with the process of life in time, it is delivered. It is only when it is released and delivered into this world that it begins to take on a life of its own. That's why you've got to know the power of speaking. When he began to say, he affected the atmosphere. Listen at me well. See, my brothers and sisters, you can think all you want, and you can feel all you want, and you can cry all you want, but until you take authority and begin to make the changes within you and then speak those changes from within to without so that those things that you have said will become a reality, then those things that you desire will never, ever come to fruition the way that God desires it to be. Listen, God doesn't hold you for making a mistake in the place you're in. You do. When you come to the place where you realize I'm not where I ought to be, don't blame God for that. God, when you gonna do this? God saying, when you gonna do this? When are you going to learn that you've got power in your mouth to speak those things that be not as though they were? How many of you know that when you release your words into the atmosphere, when they are righteous, faith-filled words, the Holy Ghost takes those words, and the same as he did in the beginning, he does now, and he begins to make that thing so. Hebrews 11:3 says, yes, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. What does that mean? He's saying that everything that you can see happened because God spoke it out of his mouth. It happened as a thought, and then it was released so that it could become a reality. God said it, and the Holy Ghost constructed it. I got news for you. They're still doing the same thing today. And we're made in his image and in his likeness, and we have that same ability to speak those things that we desire, that God wants for us, to take us to a new place in him. And the pressure many of us have is that we're waiting on someone else, or we're waiting on God to do for us what God has given us power to do. Now listen at this next thing. He not only saw, he not only said, but thirdly, he began in verse 20 to seek, because the Bible says he arose. He put into action what he had resolved to do. In other words, you got faith. That's wonderful. But can I tell you, faith won't work without feet? Some of you catch that on your way home. You've got to put feet to your faith. In other words, you have got to act upon what you spoke. You've got to act upon what you believe. You have got to do your part before God is going to do his part. And so he began to walk in what he believed and what he resolved. What am I saying? That if you want this to be a different year, you got to do some different things. If you don't want this year to look like last year, then you're going to have to put some feet to your faith and start operating in what you are speaking. If you say, I'm changed in Jesus' name, well, you need to start thinking change. You need to start acting change. You need to start talking change, walking change. You need to become a change that you are asking God to become. If you want your finances to change, you got to change your spending. Well, if I just win the Powerball, and what? Do you know statistics prove that the people, the vast majority of the people who win these multi-million dollar Powerballs are broke and destitute not many years afterwards? Because here is the point. If you don't know how to be faithful in little, you won't know how to be faithful in much. If you don't know how to spend a little, you won't know how to spend much. If you don't know how to handle what you got, it's not more you need, it's better management you need. I keep saying, if you really want to show how your giving is to God, check your checkbook out. Check your debit card statement out. Listen, and see what it is that you spend more on. I'm talking about on the side of your mortgage note and your car note. I'm talking about on the things that you just desire to have, and see where God comes on the totem pole. Your giving speaks much about what you truly desire. And this boy's financial situation came to ruin because he lived his desire and lost everything. And nobody helped him, and nobody came and kept him company, and nobody was there encouraging him. He was all by himself. But he realized, I don't have to stay in this place any longer. I wish somebody would make up their mind today that wherever they are, that's not right with God, that they don't have to stay in that place any longer. Listen again now. He began to walk the road of reconciliation. On the way home, he kept speaking those things. I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned and no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me as one. He just kept speaking that all the way home. What was he doing? He was making sure that his resolved remain resolved. You see, because when the devil sees you mean what you say, he tries to throw roadblocks, and he tries to throw issues up, and he tries to divert you from doing what you say you're going to do. But this boy kept speaking what he believed in his heart because he knew it was the right thing to do. And when his father saw him a great way off, Bible says his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran toward him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Listen, and the boy started his confession. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Listen, he didn't get to say, make me as one of thy hired servants, because the father interrupted him. Because once he repented, once he confessed, he messed up and he was wrong and he wants to be right. That was all that needed to be said. You see, the devil will try and tell you, if you repent and if you go back home and if you tell those you messed up and you missed the mark and you're no longer worthy to be called that son and do all this, that they're going to not receive you and they're going to talk about you and they're going to condemn you and all of that. But the devil is a lie, and you've got to know that. He kept speaking to himself because he was not going to let the devil's lie crowd his mind. How many times have you made up your mind and spoke at a time or two and started on your way to reconciliation, but you stopped because the devil started putting thoughts in your mind? And you didn't get to say what you wanted to say. You lost your nerves, but not this boy. Look at what the father says. Not to the son. He doesn't even address the son with any words. I'm so glad he wasn't like many of us. You see, I told you. I told you, but you wouldn't listen. I told you, want to go out there and spend all your money and do this and blah, blah, blah. He didn't bring none of that stuff back up. But what he did was, he showed his son what he needed the most. Three things, and I'm closing. Why do you think the son came back home anyway? He could have left a far country and gone someplace else. He didn't have to come back home and show his father and his family and his friends his failure. He didn't have to come back home and subject himself to the ridicule of those who knew he would fail and fall and mess his substance and his life up with a wild and riotous lifestyle. He came back home. I suggest three reasons to you. First reason is because he needed reconciliation with his father. In the Jewish culture, fathers and sons enjoy a very special relationship, and boys were raised to honor their fathers and to esteem their fathers, to look up to their fathers and to respect their fathers. And their father's opinion of them spoke volumes. And he recognized that he needed, regardless of his past failures and his mistakes, to have his father's approval and acceptance. And the only way he could get that was to go back and say, I missed it. I'm sorry.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Alexandria and New Beulah Baptist Church of Boyce, Louisiana. Now let's go into a service already in progress.